Welcome to Season 5, Episode 16 of Brody Sports Talk. My name is Derek Rusnick, and I am joined by the godfather of podcasting himself, Caleb Walgren. Caleb, how you been? How you doing?
I'm here. I'm going west. This is the best west. You could almost call it the best western, but that might be slanderous because it's better than that hotel chain. But it is the better western division in the NFL. So I'm excited. I'm here. We're going to probably talk about some things that are Rocky Mountain High and some things that possibly should just stay in the desert and never leave.
Yeah, so this is our 2023 AFC West preview. Of course, those AFC West teams are the Denver Broncos, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Las Vegas Raiders, that doesn't sound right, and Los Angeles Chargers. So, if you have not listened to our previews prior, this is going to be our last one. We've gone through all of the divisions, and go back and listen to all of them, especially during the season where we talk about the arrivals and the departures that have come onto the team and, you know, how they've affected the team. We're going to talk about the wins that we think they're going to have. They're going to go over or under their Las Vegas numbers. And then we pick some division awards. So the awards that we think players on each team can win, MVP, player, you know, defensive player of the year, most improved, stuff like that. And then, of course, we pick up a key matchup with choosing a week and why we think that game is going to be important. So, AFC West, let's ride with the Denver Broncos starting out. So, the arrivals for the Denver Broncos that I want to highlight, of course, head coach. I'm a Broncos fan. The Denver Broncos got a new head coach in Sean Payton coming over from an analyst position. Used to be the New Orleans Saints head coach. Hopefully this will be another one of those. We got a Payton on our team, so we're going to go to two Super Bowls, but we'll see. And then we have some offensive linemen. You know how much I love offensive linemen. Mike McGlinchey, the right tackle, coming over from San Francisco. Ben Powers, who's a guard, he comes over from Baltimore. And their very first pick that they had, which was in the second round, was Marvin Mims, wide receiver out of the University of Oklahoma. We are an Oklahoma-based podcast, so we always like to give out the local schools a shout-out. Of course, you can tell they didn't have a first-round pick. We talked about that pick when we had the Seattle Seahawks, and it was a top-five pick, too. Very, very wonderful. But anyways, so, Caleb, tell me who on the arrivals that you wanted to highlight, anyone special that you think is going to make an impact?
I mean, I will say that you stole a little bit of thunder. I love Mike McGlinchey coming over as well from your bandwagon team of the 49ers to your real team of the Denver Broncos. But of course, I do have to talk about the man who escaped possibly the worst NFL team and Jarrett Stidham that was able to arrive. We love backup quarterbacks on this podcast. I happen to love quarterbacks that wear the number four. Jarrett Stidham is both a backup quarterback and he wears the number four. So he gets a lot of love from me. Also, I've got to bring it up because I personally think that it's very exciting. Samaje Perine, you got to have him. He's going to be in that rotation with Javonte Williams, who has recovered from injury a lot better than anyone expected. So it might be less Samaje Perine than we were previously thinking, but that's a 1-2 punch in the backfield that is really dang good. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
It is a really good point. So with new guys coming in, you have to say goodbye to some guys. There really wasn't a whole lot of big names that left the Denver Broncos this year. Brandon McManus, the great foot person that he did a little bit of everything at some point in time with the Broncos, said goodbye. And then, as we talked about in our Brody Bites episode, Brett Maher, the kicker, they brought in Will Lutz, Brett Maher, and then Dremont Jones went over to Seattle, because everyone goes to Seattle from Denver, clearly. So, you know, not a whole lot of turnover on the outgoing stuff. I do think they've gotten better on the roster. Caleb, I toss it over to you. What do you think about the departures from the Denver Broncos?
I think it makes sense. I mean, we're looking at a completely different squad and a different outcome. I do think that it's going to be interesting. I know that one of the players that I thought was potentially going to have a really bright future in Denver when they took him was KJ Hamler. Uh-huh. He, of course, is waived currently by the Denver Broncos because he had a heart condition of pericarditis. So they waived him with the non-football injury designation. I would love to see him be able to come back and play in the NFL again. But when you're dealing with this, it's serious stuff. I just want him to heal up and get better. But I also know the wide receiver room for the Denver Broncos is fairly tiny. And I hope that they stay healthy out there, because there's a lot of draft capital out there, but it's also where are you going to find people to come in? As we were recording this, we don't know who's going to be potentially practice squad guys, but I'm hoping that Denver likes who they have in that receiver room a lot, because Russell Wilson needs to find the ball and let's ride with them.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some pickups over the prior to week one to fill out that wide receiver room. You know, some guys who said goodbye to their teams. There's probably some talent out there that's going to be picked up before week one to fill out that room a little bit. You know, not bad. We'll see what happens. So when it comes to wins, we have a number of 8.5. So, Caleb, where do we get our numbers from?
FanDuel.
That's correct. And so the number 8.5, I am just going to go all in on the Broncos. I think that their number 8.5 is too small. I think they're going to get to 10 or 11 wins because there's 17 of them out there. So, you know, a 10-7 season wouldn't be too bad, and a 9-8 season still gets some over that. So I think they're going to be a better squad. So I'm going to go over the 8.5 wins. Caleb, where are you sitting at?
I think it's a tough one. I think there's some definite tough stretches on the schedule, but I also know this is a team that played really close in a lot of games last year. You know, they had good defense. They had horrible clock management. There was some really bad things that were happening from the head coach, and we don't need to get into that because that's last year. I'm going to go over the 8.5. I don't know that I feel great about it, but I do feel good enough about it to take it.
So just to get into that just a little bit, I'm not going to go deep into that. So you can have a great playbook and all of your plays work, but if you can't call an offense, which is different than calling plays, is like, okay, we saw them do this. When we have this set, we can exploit this. That's calling an offense, not just calling plays. So if you have someone who can call an offense and someone who has improved, and improvement over last year's play caller, I do think that you're going to see more out of them. We, of course, have our division awards for the Denver Broncos. I toss it over to Caleb first. Who do you think could win an award for the Denver Broncos?
Give me PS2 as a defensive player of the year.
There you go.
I think that Patrick Surtain is so underrated. They've revamped a little bit of their pass rush. I like what they're doing. Frank Clark should be healthier this year. If Randy Gregory doesn't make dumb mistakes, then he should stay on the field more of the year as well. And I say that as a Husker fan who liked Randy Gregory coming out into the NFL. But I think PS2 is just head and shoulders the best player on the defense. And I think that he's just going to have a significant impact on this team, making a third-year leap in the league, and I just can't wait to see it happen.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I hope that there's not just a who the best pass rusher is, that's going to be defensive player of the year, because that can be kind of hard. For me, let's have comeback player of the year after his worst season in the NFL, period, and that's Russell Wilson. He just did not look like himself last year, couldn't cook. There was no Chef Russ out there. And, so I'm hoping that he and Sean Payton have gotten together. They have a new system, all that kind of stuff. Because if not, as Caleb said, Jared Stidham's on the roster. And frankly, he looked pretty good in the preseason. So I'm glad that he's on the roster and is the backup quarterback. I'm going to jump into the key matchup for the Denver Broncos. And for me, that's going to be week 8, where they are at home versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So week 6, they go to Arrowhead. Then they're home for week 7 versus the Green Bay Packers. You know, because we know that week 7, me and Caleb are going to go head-to-head a little bit. And then week 8, which is the one I'm talking about, Kansas City coming home. So you have Kansas City with a week break in between, and not an easy game versus the Green Bay Packers, because Jordan Love looks good. And then after that Kansas City game, you have a bye week. So that's the stretch that you're seeing. Okay, this, can you take one from the Chiefs, choosing either one at Arrowhead or one at home? Because there's not a lot of teams that can beat the Chiefs, not even to mention the Chiefs twice. So for me, I'm looking at week 8, as I think that's a good matchup.
I like where you're going, Derek. I think in general, when you look at that month of October, that is a month that you're circling almost every single game and going, man, this is going to keep everything interesting for me as a fan of the Broncos, because if you can go hot in that stretch, it's definitely the toughest stretch of the season. I'm going to go ahead and go with the week that someone gets it started. I'm going to go with week 5, mm-hmm. when they are hosting the New York football Jets, 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 Jets. The Jets got a new quarterback named Aaron Rodgers, and I was just double-checking, Derek. Aaron Rodgers has never thrown a touchdown pass in Denver's stadium.
Interesting.
He has only played one game there, and he did not throw a touchdown pass in that game. Mm-hmm. The Packers only scored 10 points. And Peyton Manning did not throw a touchdown pass in that game either when they were head-to-head in that one. So in what would have been billed as Rodgers versus Manning, womp, 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 not exactly the offensive shootout that they were looking for. So give me Aaron Rodgers coming in. I know it'll be a late afternoon game on CBS is what it's currently scheduled as. We're going to want to see this. We want to see the Jets and Broncos. We want to see Rodgers and Russ. Let's see how it happens with them wearing different jerseys this time. So I just want to know, can Rodgers get past it? And the Broncos have a short week that week. They're going to go at Kansas City in 4 days. They got to focus in because the Jets are a tough team. So I think that it'll be an important one for them to go take down.
Yeah, and not to mention the Rodgers could have come to Denver. I mean, that was a big thing before Russell Wilson got there was, okay, we have Nathaniel Hackett. So, hey, Rodgers, you want to come to Denver? And that didn't materialize. So that's a really good game. So I want to speak about some other really good games, and that's any game that the Kansas City Chiefs are in. They just seem to be a juggernaut the last couple of years, even though they haven't won back-to-back championships, which seems weird to me. I thought they would have at some point. But no, they have a win, they have a loss, and now they have another win this last season. So, a rival, well, of course, the championship trophy arrived with the Kansas City Chiefs, and a draft pick that I want to, I always talk about the OU players and the OSU players. I just love to say Wanye Morris, the name Wanye. I'm thinking if I could, if I had kids or whatever, I'd probably name one Wanye, just so I could say it a whole bunch. But he's an offensive tackle coming out of OU, may see the field a little bit, but probably they probably got a good set of their guys there. And then a guy's been around the league for quite a while. And kind of a Chad Henne type, with Chad Henne has been around the league quite a bit as well. But Blaine Gabbert is the backup quarterback coming over from Tampa Bay. So I like Blaine Gabbert. I was really hoping that he would turn out to be what he was, because I think he was a top three pick, if I'm not mistaken, for the Jaguars. And so, but having a veteran behind Patrick Mahomes, I think is good.
I'm going to go ahead and go back to the offensive line, Derek. Okay. This may surprise you, but Donovan Smith is coming in as the new left tackle. They were able to get him from Tampa Bay during this offseason. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to be interesting and critical to see how he kind of matches up with this already elite offensive line.
Yeah,
that, and you've got a new offensive tackle at the right side too, in Juwan Taylor. So you're taking some pretty big risks. We all know that Mahomes looked at his worst last year when he was hobbling around on his ankle, and I don't want to say that that will happen, but I do know if it does happen, people are going to be looking and going, "What happened here?" Because we didn't change anything up the middle.
Yeah. So just to be completely clear, when you say Patrick Mahomes looked his worst, it's kind of like an ice cream sundae without chocolate sauce or a cherry on top, maybe no whipped cream. Like, he still looked really good, but he just didn't look as good when he had a hurt ankle.
Yes, that is a fair statement.
So speaking of offensive tackles, one walked out the door in Orlando Brown Jr., probably one of the better offensive tackles in the league, period. He went up to Cincinnati. Now he's going to cover Joe Burrow's blind side. And then Juju Smith-Schuster, who was a short-term rental, went over to New England. And I think the biggest impact guy leaving the Kansas City Chiefs, in my mind, is Mecole Hardman. I'm sorry, Hardman, the wide receiver, headed over to that Aaron Rodgers Jets team. He's played a little bit in the preseason, and he's looked pretty good. Looks like he is still that outlet guy that can make plays.
I like all of those. I think in general, the receiver room, they did a lot of promoting from within this offseason. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of that really looks and feels. Really, the big thing for me, and where I just have my most questions, it's not truly a departure. It's, when are they going to get things settled with Chris Jones? You need Chris Jones. I immediately think of the Lions matchup in week one, and this might be a little bit of a sneak ahead for next week, but I think the Lions might be able to run the football because Chris Jones isn't there. And you don't want to start off with a potential weakness because your best defensive player isn't playing. So not really a departure, but I'm not in the locker room. Does that count as like a slight departure?
Yeah.
I don't know what to
call it. If you're not there, you can't contribute. So I'm with you on that one. So the win total for the Kansas City Chiefs, we are sitting at 11.5, and I think this is a sneaky, sneaky number. So this is what I think the Indianapolis Colts of Peyton Manning days, where they're going to rack up a bunch of wins in the first part of their season, middle part of their season, and they're just going to get over the hump. I don't know if they're going to be that number one seed that they usually are. We'll see what Andy Reid has in store. I'm still going to take the over on this, as I think they get to 13 wins. Overall, I'm just looking at their schedule. I think they can get to 12 or 13, and that pushes them to that over. But 11-6, if they see that they can hold some stuff back and get it and still win the West with a 11-win season, let's say some other teams falter or get hurt, I think they're. I'm not going to hammer the over. Let's put it that way. But I think that I'm taking the over.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree on this one, Derek. I'm going to go ahead and slide under. I do think that a 10 or 11 win season somewhere in there fits. I just feel like if you don't have Chris Jones, which does cause me a lot of concern, we talked about two receivers left, two offensive line left. Like, we talked to the year before, it was like, oh, Tyreek Hill's not here. This has been a much bigger offseason than Tyreek Hill leaving. Like, don't get me wrong, Tyreek Hill is a dynamic playmaker, but now you've lost four offensive starters around Patrick Mahomes outside of that. And at some point, something's got to give. You're going to get everyone's toughest shot. I think that it's just going to be a tougher season for Kansas City than they'd like to admit. I'm gonna call the under.
Okay, that's your prerogative. I've just not seen them buckle under too much pressure recently. So I want to give you the division award first, the option to toss one out there, because I have a fancy one that I want to toss over there.
Give me Kadarius Toney as comeback player of the year, someone who was basically cast aside and sent out of the Giants last year, and someone who I think could have a really solid year and be the best receiver in their receiver room. Granted, that's because Travis Kelce is not in the receiver room.
Should be.
So I have to call out that technicality. So I think Kadarius Toney can have a double-digit touchdown season, over 1,000 yards. And I think that he is someone who people will see and go, oh, yeah, I remember him, and he bounced back. So give me him for comeback player of the year. If I'm not going with something that might be a little bit more obvious as a potential option.
Yeah, so my division award is going to Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to give him Super Bowl MVP. I am going so far into the future. I think that the Chiefs are going to be one of the only back-to-back champions that we've seen since the Patriots, I believe in the early aughts or mid-aughts, I think that the Chiefs, they have the talent there. And if they can keep Patrick Mahomes upright, if they can keep him healthy, this Chiefs team can do whatever they want. So not even the offensive player of the year, not even the MVP of the regular season, I'm going all the way to Super Bowl MVP for Patrick Mahomes. Thoughts?
I think that it's very possible. So I think it's a bit spicy, a bit gusto, but I do think that if Kansas City's there and they win, he's likely to get it. So it's not that spicy, but it's good.
I like the mild spice now. So I used to be very anti-spicy. I'm taking a little spice now. I'm getting old, and I want to taste my food. So where is your key matchup for the Chiefs?
I want the revenge game. Give me week 11.
Yep.
They're coming back from London. It's the Super Bowl rematch. Monday Night Football, they're putting on ESPN and ABC. It's a couple of days before Thanksgiving. And outside of the Thanksgiving Day games, it's probably the game I'm going to be talking about for those few days to follow, because I just want to see what happens. You know, can Jalen Hurts and the Eagles come in there and somehow take over Arrowhead Stadium? I almost tried to come up with something I could say there, like calling it Hurts Head, but I don't think that it does not flow remotely the same.
That hurts my head.
Yeah, fair.
Go ahead. Yeah,
definitely. Maybe. But that's a game I'm just super thrilled for. I wish it was the kickoff game, but I have to wait until the end of November.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Burrowhead game. I'm going to go week 17, Cincinnati Bengals, New Year's Eve. Who goes into 2024 on a win? So, you know, like last year, the demons or the ghost or whatever you want to call it, were exercised out of Arrowhead Stadium, where Joe Burrow came to town and you got him, you beat him, and so he's no longer Burrowhead. But there are so many revenge games on this schedule this year. You have the Bengals at week 17. You can look at week 14 with Buffalo Bills, and then you have week 11 Philadelphia Eagles. So yeah, you're like you're saying, every week the Chiefs are being circled on the schedule.
Yeah, and I mean, that didn't even get to any of the divisional games where everyone wants to try to take the Chiefs out of the division for the first time in forever.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and skip the Las Vegas Raiders because no one deserves to hear about them. They're gross and icky. Okay, you twisted my arms. Our next team is the Las Vegas Raiders. I guess I have to say nice things about this team. The unfortunate few that joined the Las Vegas Raiders this year. So the number 7 pick, the edge out of Texas Tech, Tyree Wilson. I really like him a lot. I think he had a bright future, but is certainly gone to the wrong team. And the number 35 pick, the tight end out of Notre Dame, Michael Mayer. Everyone, I had him in my first round of our mock draft, and now he's going to oblivion. It's so very sad to see talent go away. And someone I wanted to highlight that out of pick 135, the QB out of Purdue, Aiden O'Connell. So if you've watched any of the preseason games, and I've watched some Raiders preseason games to root for the other team, Aiden O'Connell looks like a dude. Looks like a guy who could make a roster someplace, and definitely has command of the offense. So I like Aiden O'Connell, the QB out of Purdue. A pretty good pick. Who do you have, Caleb?
So I definitely was going to at least bring up Aiden O'Connell. I've mentioned my friend Ryan, who's a Purdue alum, several times on this podcast. He's met Aiden O'Connell. He's had season tickets out there. I mean, Aiden was at Purdue for 6 years. So
yeah.
Like long time there. He's 24. He's mature. He fits that Brock Purdy-esque mold for a backup quarterback that you would love to be able to have come in. But in general, the quarterback room is just completely different. Last year you had different quarterbacks we can talk about in departures, but this year you have Jimmy G, Hoyer, and Aiden O'Connell. It's just a completely different look and feel. It's kind of like, did you have any point of investing anything in quarterbacks last year? Josh McDaniels, kind of like you said, he needs talent. He does not develop the talent. So new quarterback room for Josh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I forgot to talk about Jimmy G. No, of course. I was trying to allow you at least something on there. Coming over from my bandwagon team, so can never talk about Jimmy G ever again in a positive light because he's wearing that very ugly black and silver. So with the quarterback room filling up, they sent Jarrett Stidham, the QB, sent him to Denver. And then their starting quarterback for the last, what feels like 100 years, but probably only has been 7 or 8. But Derek Carr, the only Derek that knows how to spell his name right, he is now the starting quarterback of New Orleans. So how do you feel about those departures? Do you want to add anything to the list there, Caleb?
We got to talk about how Darren Waller got traded out of there to the Giants. I know that we called it out when it happened. You know, he had recently gotten married to
a couple of days.
Yeah, like it felt very savage. And Darren Waller, he was so good for so long. It's another room that basically has completely changed, except for Jesper Horsted. You know, they brought in Michael Mayer and Austin Hooper, but Darren Waller is gone. Foster Moreau is gone. Like, it feels like a little bit of a rebuild there in Las Vegas, which will probably explain that over-under number that we get to here in a second.
Yeah, so Darren Waller didn't just get married to somebody. He got married to Kelsey Plum, the guard for the Las Vegas Aces, one of the best players in the league, I would say top 15, top 10 players in the WNBA. And it's just not fair that he gets traded. I mean, it's great that he went to a different team, but like, you just got married to a Las Vegas superstar, and now, you know, we have to go someplace else. It just, athlete love is very difficult.
I will say that I knew that it was a member of the Las Vegas Aces, but the name that was coming to my head was Asia Wilson. And I was like, if I get this name wrong, it's going to be better if I just don't come up with a name.
Yeah.
Than to have Aaron correct me and tell me how wrong I am. So I was
so
like,
so you could have went with Asia Wilson.
Default and not mention it. And Derek will beat me there.
Yeah, I am a quite a fan of WNBA and the Las Vegas Aces versus the New York Liberty rivalry that's now going on, as basically the Liberty has consolidated some of the best players on their team. The Aces have built their team with a couple of really good players coming over. And so basically it is 1-2 all the way through, and the Liberty have gotten the best of the Aces, but the Aces still have the best record. So speaking of, let's not talk about the WNBA so that no one falls asleep anymore. Let's talk about the Las Vegas Raiders win total. So Vegas has them at 6.5. That's not a whole lot of wins, but I'm going to say new quarterback, you've turned a lot of things over. I'm going under on this. I think that 6-11, 5-12 is probably where you're looking at. I mean, I know that they've brought in someone with experience with their coach, but I just think there's just too many, too much there and not enough known quantity. So I'm going under.
I'll join you. They went 6-11 last year. I just don't feel like there was momentum from last year to carry over. You lost a lot of different things between last season and this season. We're not even talking about the same team. And then I look at what you're starting off with. Schedule-wise, I feel like you're getting some really rough games on the road out the gate. And let's face it, I feel like Las Vegas would be a great place to go to watch a game as a road team, a road fan, because everyone, like, it's such a tourist town. Like, being able to get there and go watch a game just feels like something that would be easy to do to support your team in Vegas. So
yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, it's a good place to go to, but you really, there's not much that I would say is like it's good for your road teams to get there, but as a home venue, I just don't like it. So looking at this roster, a lot of turnover. So I'm going to go with the rookies if we're looking at division awards here. And like I said before, I like Tyree Wilson, the edge rusher. And, you know, if you're picking up a good amount of sacks, you're probably going to have those numbers for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So that's where I think we're going to see here is Defensive Rookie of the Year for the Raiders, if anything.
I'll go ahead and just say Devontae Adams, Offensive Player of the Year, because mm-hmm. I love Devontae Adams, and I want him to come back to a team that I like more than the Raiders. I don't think you can win Offensive Player of the Year if you win under 6.5 games, but I really like Devontae Adams and hope that he has a great year, even though I don't really hope that the team has a great year. Go Devontae.
Yeah, like, how do you get 4,000 yards, but the team still loses? Like, it's really tough. Like, there's you got to thread that needle. So for me, we're talking a lot about Week 11s when it came to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm just gonna have that same week and just have dual screens. Have Week 11 for the Raiders at the Dolphins. So this is a where are these teams now kind of game. So we know the Dolphins are probably going to be better this year, but we really don't know if, you know, maybe if Tua is going to stay healthy. And then we have brand new quarterback, you know, knows the system, but, you know, brand new team basically with the Raiders. So, you know, if the Raiders were able to pick up some early wins, pick up some momentum, this may be that turning point in the season where you're like, okay, the Raiders are going to sneak into a wild card spot or something like that. So for me, Week 11 at the Dolphins, as I think this is a yardstick or measuring stick game.
I like your confidence in giving the Raiders a potential measuring stick game. I'm going to go ahead and just say Week 7 at Chicago. I think that the Raiders are going to be one of the worst teams in football. I think that there's a possibility that Josh McDaniels is out of a head coaching job by this time in the season. And mm-hmm. I think that being able to go into Chicago, who had the worst record in football last year, is a place where if you're struggling, you have got to win that game. Like, I don't care if Justin Fields has a better cast around him. I don't care if they have DJ Moore. You have to be able to say, we need to be better than the team that was the worst team in the league last year. And I just don't know that they have it. I really feel like the Raiders didn't build enough, and they just changed so much that I don't see where their path to wins are on their schedule. They're in a very tough division. I think Sean Payton is going to outcoach Josh McDaniels twice, at least. Maybe three times if he could go against him three times. But I do think that it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be a long year, but I think that that week seven matchup against Chicago, Raiders fans are going to be going, please tell us that we at least look good at some point.
Yeah, I think they deserve it. If they, the Raiders fans, no, I kid, of course. I do give the Raiders a hard time, but you know, they do exist and they shouldn't. So, let's move on to the Los Angeles Chargers, a team that I actively don't root against as much as I do the Las Vegas Raiders. Do you have any arrivals, Caleb, that you want to highlight?
We got to at least bring up the man, the myth, the legend, the TCU Hypnotoad himself, Quentin Johnston, coming in. He's going to be wearing number one for the Chargers. Fantastic player, deserves all the accolades that he is getting. And I am excited to see him come in here and just dominate out the gate. I think that there is a chance within a year or two that they are the Mike and Quentin show instead of the Keenan and Mike show. So I definitely think that it's going to be interesting to see how quickly he can adapt and transform in this offense.
Okay, so you talk about the Hypnotoad, but you don't talk about Max Duggan being on the team. Like, he was picked 239, only like 218 picks after Johnson. This guy was a Heisman finalist and is at pick 239. The biggest arrival for me is my good friend and favorite offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. Coming over from the Cowboys. Been a big fan of him since Smurf Turf. And, I think that this is going to be a brand new Chargers team when it comes to the offensive side. And, you know, you've still got Justin Herbert there. When you're talking about Quentin Johnson, I really think he's going to be a really good piece of this offense. So the Chargers didn't really lose much when it came to big name free agents. So the only thing that I could really find was Drew Tranquil, a linebacker headed over to the Chiefs. Everything else was kind of like 1 year deals, guys who, you know, didn't really fit on the roster, found other places. So, it's just, sometimes you don't lose a lot. You don't have a whole lot of guys on your roster when it came to, contracts being up or you saying goodbye to them or whatever. So most of this team is going to come back with this, under Brandon Staley. Any thoughts on guys leaving the Chargers, Caleb?
You already mentioned one that left and was replaced by Kellen Moore. We could mention Joe Lombardi there. I also know that they got a new defensive coordinator as well, as Ronaldo Hill is out and Derek Ansley is in. A little bit of a different look in the coaching, but definitely not really a ton of player movement out. They're just reloading.
Yeah, and that's we don't restock. We just reload back into it. So I'm going to toss over the wins over under to you first, because the number is 9.5. I'm torn. Tell me where you're at.
So I might be a little spicy here, Derek, but I'm going to say with Kellen Moore there, I think that the Chargers have a legitimate chance to win the division. I'm going to go over, and I'm going to feel like if the Chargers and Chiefs are in that 10-11 win range, it's going to be how they do in those head-to-head matchups. So I'm going to go ahead and say over 9.5 for the Chargers as I make them at least a playoff team and kind of see where things land from there.
Yeah, so because this is our last division preview, I have too many teams in the playoffs already. So for me, I'm going under. So 9 wins feels right about this Chargers team. They are either a 9-8 or 8-9 team. So they're, if they go over that, if they get to double-digit wins, I'm not going to be completely surprised, but I think that they are 1 year away from being being the double-digit 11-12 win team that we expect. I think once Kellen is in there and we've got a little bit more experience to the roster, I think that they're going to be – I think they're going to be good in the future. I just don't think it's this year.
I think that's fair.
So speaking of that Hypnotoad, offensive rookie of the year, jumping out here for the division awards for these guys, offensive rookie of the year, I'm going to say that he's probably up in that top 5 already of Quentin Johnson of like offensive players of the year candidates, because he's had a really good preseason. And, you know, if everyone else is covering their other receivers or more veteran receivers, he's just going to get all the catches because he gets open. He's big. He's got a wide catch radius. So let's just get after it.
Let me go ahead and just say Justin Herbert for MVP. I went over on the 9.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to double down and say Herbert for MVP. I could have gone really spicy and tried to say Eckler for MVP, but I think that that's just not going to happen. I do think Herbert definitely has that potential in that offense, though.
I actually have Justin Herbert MVP in my notes, so I do not think that's a spicy take at all for me in my particular case. So my key matchup, so I'm jumping on the Caleb bandwagon with this one. This is week 16, home with the Buffalo Bills late in the season. How are these teams set up? Are they in the playoffs? Are they fighting for a playoff spot? Because this could be a playoff preview, basically. Winner goes home. Winner stays in the playoffs, loser goes home. Like, it's an elimination game, basically. And where are the teams at if they're not? Are they moving in the right direction? Are we sitting Justin Herbert because you're just not winning enough games and you want to save him for next season? Like, where are they at when it comes to if their season doesn't go the way they want? So I'm looking at week 16.
I like that game, Derek. I will say that is the regular season game that is going to be exclusively streamed on Peacock. So for those of you who are trying to figure out if you want that trial or maybe trial in a month, because I believe they also are getting a wild card game during Super Wild Card Weekend, remember to sign up for it during that holiday scramble, because you know, maybe put a notification on your phone for like the 21st. Hey, sign up for Peacock because you know that you're going to want to watch the beautiful Chargers Bills game. No, we're not sponsored by Peacock, but if you want to sponsor us, Peacock, we would be willing to record our podcast on your streaming service. It will just cost you a lot of money. I will say, Derek, as far as a key matchup, I'm going to go with an interesting one for me. I want to see how things shake up on week 12. It's going to be the days after Thanksgiving. They're hosting Baltimore. I think Baltimore has a chance to really be something this year. It's a tough matchup, in my opinion, for them, because while you do have great pass rushers in Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. Lamar Jackson is someone who just makes great pass rushers look a little bit silly every now and again because of his ability to evade. I do think that with Munkin's offense, they should know more of what it looks like after, you know, the 10 games that Baltimore will have before this. And it'll just be intriguing to see what Brandon Staley's game plan is to kind of shut it down and what they do to make sure that they're able to get their targets open against a Baltimore defense that's always known for being a little bit stingy.
That's a really good point. You know exactly what you're talking about on that one. I forgot that Munkin was over there in Baltimore. So that's a good call out there, my podcasting friend. That is, I think everything is wrapped up for our previews. If you haven't watched, I got Peacock on the brain. So if you haven't listened to our previous previews, do that before the season starts. We have a little bit of time as the college football season kicks off first, and then the week after we get NFL. And so, you know, go back and listen to our previews, see where we're right, see where we're wrong, and go ahead and tell us where we're wrong, especially because it always seems like the bad stuff is what happens on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But our handle is at Brody Talk on the social media formerly known as Twitter. Our link tree, linktr.ee/BrodyTalk, is where all of our other links are. And if you have the access to a review, go ahead and leave us a review on there. We think we're a 5-star podcast, and we'd be happy to have your review along with many others who have reviewed us. So on behalf of Caleb, my name is Derek. Do me a favor and have a wonderful day.
Bye, y'all.